today on Real Radio.
15-year-old in the hallway say, Jack, thanks. Pressure's off. All the girls want me. And he said, I can't tell you how nice it is to say, our youth group doesn't date, and I'm in the youth group. Go figure. He was relieved. How do you argue with that?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called How a Church Ought to Walk, begins in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 with verses 1 through 8. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the Thessalonian church to encourage them in their commitment to Christ. You know, it's against human nature to be teachable, and we're prone to easily forget what we've learned. Paul's been teaching the church in great love by repeating important issues of the Christian walk. He wants it to go down deep into their hearts so they can face the trouble that surrounds them with confidence in their faith. Today, Pastor Jack tells us there's a war going on inside of every Christian. I'm sure you know that by now. Immorality is a sin of choice, so Paul warns the church to walk in a responsible manner. The church must never put themselves or others in a position to sin. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Let's say we're all evolutionists. Let's be evolutionists for a minute. Let's put our little pointed head on and be an evolutionist for a minute. We don't believe in God. I don't have to be godly. I don't have to know the Bible. I don't have to quote God to show that homosexuality is wrong. All I have to do is be an atheistic evolutionist, and I can prove that homosexuality is wrong. Evolution argues against the practice of homosexuality because if you practice homosexuality, it destroys the species. It is unnatural, even if you're godless. If you believe as an evolutionist the survival of the fittest, then homosexuality would have been eradicated a long time ago because it destroys the fittest. It would have been selected out. It's very important. Homosexuality in every case and in all circumstances is 100% fatal to the propagation of the species. If you remove God out of the equation, it doesn't work. What are you saying, Jack? I'm saying, like what Paul just mentioned in 1 Corinthians right here, chapter 6, that it's a sin of choice. I thought it was genetic. Listen, scientists have proven it's not genetic. It's a sin of choice. I'd like to put it this way. The gay lifestyle is not genetic. It's a reaction. It could be a reaction to the way that they were brought up. It could be a reaction to the way somebody was treated. The point is, and if you are fall under that category this morning, here's some wonderful news. You're no different than the liar, and God can deliver both. He loves you so much, though he despises our sins. So how should the church walk? To flee from sexual immorality. The church can't walk very good if its pants are down around its ankles. How can you run with the footmen if God says to Jeremiah, if you've walked with the footmen and they've wearied you, what are you going to do when the Jordan overflows? Well, you can't even walk when your pants are down around your ankles. How are you going to walk in the church? You got to pull up your shorts. You got to walk holy. And you think, I can't believe he's saying this. People have so accepted sexual immorality. Just practice safe sex, is what they're telling our kids. Oh, really? Every time they say that, scientists and biologists cringe. I cringe when I hear that. Are you going to trust your life to a piece of latex where at any given time, the inconsistencies within the latex can vary from 5 to 8 microns? That means take a tennis racket. If you take a condom and you blow it up on an electron microscope, it looks just like a tennis racket. The problem is the AIDS virus does not exceed 3 microns in size. It passes right through. That's why they're telling you and your children, well, wear more than one. Oh, come on. They're asking a child to think like this. Listen, you guys think that we don't allow dating among our youth group because we're you know, trying to bum them out. Think about this for a minute, and then look what's happened to our youth group since. It's the hottest youth group going. Churches want our youth group to come visit their church to turn them on to God. But you get little Betty, little Sherry, little Christy, little Rebecca, all dressed up, and you say, well, now you're 15, you're 16, and you go have a nice time on your first date. But don't touch him. And if he touches you, you just brick his finger. And okay, so have a nice time. And they go on a date, and here's Junior. And Junior doesn't know which way's up. I've been there. Guys, all you know is she's not a G.I. Joe and she's not a Tonka. I don't know what to do. I can't tell you what I'm feeling. When I'm not looking in the mirror, I look like Mel Gibson, but when I look in the mirror, I still kind of see hints of baby powder. And now I'm on a date. My parents are 3 miles away. She smells great. He said, don't touch. Everything in me saying, touch, touch, touch. And we tell them, don't blow it. And they make it. They come home. Oh. It's only Monday. Debbie, I go out with Debbie Wednesday night. Try dating someone else. And then you got to do it all over again. It's like strapping a stake around your son's face and saying, don't let any lions eat you up or anything. They can't handle it. And you laugh and you say, well, yeah, sure, you know, I don't know. Listen, what if you, in your age, if you were single and you're dating and you have no idea about you know, I don't know if I'm going to make a commitment or not, and you see a different girl almost every night of the week. Let me tell you, I don't care if you're King David, you'll fall. The scripture says you can't take fire into your chest and not get burned. What am I saying? I am saying, girls, ladies, you are sanctified by the Holy Spirit. The practical exhortation of number 3 right here in verses 4-5 says that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. Gals, be careful how you dress. Is it going to cause somebody to stumble? If you look in the mirror and you say, man, I'm looking pretty shapely. A guy doesn't think shapely. Oh, John, look, isn't she shapely? You know, excuse me, what's your name? Oh, Susie, I was just admiring just how great that top makes you look so shapely. That's great. Listen, man, you know, it's like, and you hear an orchestra in the back with the Jaws thing going. And you think, well, I don't know, you're kind of exaggerating. Look, I am exposing deep secrets of all men this morning. I'm telling you the truth here. I'm telling you the truth on this. Be careful, girls, how you dress. Guys, be careful what you say. Be careful how you act. You leading somebody on? You playing a game? I mentioned earlier that we don't allow dating in the youth group. What we encourage is when people are of a courting age that they do that. They do that very thing. Well, what's the difference? Well, one is having Junior do all the things that adults can do, but he can't do it, and you're setting him up for a heartbreak and a lot of other things. Or when they're old enough to be married, they should go out in groups until they're old enough to be married. And when they're old enough to be married and they see Susie and, boy, she's pretty neat, then go ask her out. Go ask her out. You can have a job. You could even marry her. You're of the age. It's fine. Do it in the Lord. Praise God for that. It's a beautiful thing. Look at the Old Testament example on this, and you'll be convinced in your heart. And I know what I'm saying is radical. Isn't it radical? It's radical. But watch what happens. It's a beautiful thing. Can't believe how many kids responded to us when we had that class, by the way. You know where we got the greatest flack? From the parents. We got more flack from the parents regarding dating than we did from the kids. The kids said, you know what, I can't believe how free I already feel just thinking about not having the pressure on me. I had a guy, a 15-year-old in the hallway, say, Jack, thanks. Pressure's off. All the girls want me. And he said, I can't tell you how nice it is to say, our youth group doesn't date, and I'm in the youth group. Go figure. He was relieved. How do you argue with that? Boy, we're out of time, and I've got many pages left. Paul says in 2 Timothy 2:21, flee youthful lust. The word is fugitive. Fugitive youthful lust. Run from it. I had somebody tell me, over 80 years old, this one guy told me one time, you know what? I can't believe the thoughts, the temptations I've been having in my mind. And I'm thinking, well, what are they? Like to buy a new Bible or, you know, to get a new concordance? And I'm thinking about women, and I never goes away. Flee youthful lust. It's never going to go away. You just may not be able to do anything about it, but it will never go away in your heart or in your head. You got to fight it out, people. It's a war inside your heart. Proverbs chapter 7, mark it down in your margins right next to these verses, talks about the immoral woman who leads your son away from the path of righteousness. And she says, and you read it later when we have time, she says to him, I've been looking for you. Oh, I've been looking for you. And it says that she got dressed up like a harlot. She wasn't a harlot. She got dressed up like one. A harlot charges. This girl didn't even charge. And she says to the simple young man, and it says in your Bible, Proverbs chapter 7, that he was a youth. And she says, my husband is away on a long journey, and he's going to come back at an appointed time. I have prepared my bed with tapestries from Egypt, and the King James Version is the only version that renders it correctly. I don't know why. The other versions haven't gotten it. But the King James Version says, I have prepared my bed with tapestries from Egypt and fine carvings. Carvings. Not cravings. Carvings. And guess what it is? Statues of pornography. Carvings. And she would take that young man in there and she said, this is the God I worship. This is the God of indulgence. And this is what I do to please my God. You just lay down right here, young man. And our culture's doing it today. Pornography. She subdues him and seduces him. And she destroys him. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:15 onward, he says, he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own soul. If you think this is extreme, listen to the commandment of the New Testament in 1 Corinthians 7:1. You ought to write it down. In 1 Corinthians 7:1, the scripture says, Paul says, now concerning the things that you wrote to me, this is kind of funny. Concerning the things you wrote to me, I'm going to respond to you concerning what you wrote me. I wonder what they wrote him. Watch this. I'm going to respond to you concerning the things that you wrote me. It's not good for a man to touch a woman. Well, what'd they write him? Paul, we've all been sitting around. We want to know, can we touch women? Isn't that funny? But the word that he used here, not to touch a woman, the word means, listen, this is the word. Don't, guys, don't, here's the word, be suggestive in intimate ways toward a girl. The word means do not kindle a flame. Do not set them on fire. That's what the word means right here, touch. Don't set them on fire. Don't touch them or advance them in an intimate way. Flirting is the beginning of it. hey, how you doing? Oh, fine. You know, and it's like, you know, and you kind of watch it. Are you a Christian? Are you a boy or a girl, male, female, older person? Doesn't matter. Jesus warns us, don't cause someone to stumble. The fourth exhortation of practical living and how we should walk. The fourth one, and we'll go through this quickly. The practical exhortation, look at verse 6. He says that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter. It means two things, people. First of all, to defraud means to reach over the boundaries of. In relation to a husband, it's in regards to his children and his wife. In other words, Paul's saying, don't put your hand in somebody else's house. If it's the man's daughter, son, or wife. The scriptures tell us concerning the jealousy of a man toward his wife, it says it is a rage, his jealousy, when his wife is violated and defrauded. When you defraud that man, when you cheat with his wife, and it says that his jealousy is vengeful, and who can stand against it? God says, don't reach over the boundaries of the family. Don't take what is not yours, the word means. Don't use for your own gain to take advantage. Do not defraud. The word means to rob or to steal in the context of virginity. Sexual sin. Don't steal their virginity. And the moment you do it, male or female, you've robbed them from something that only God can restore. But even in the world that we live in, it's gone. Now, maybe you have lost your virginity and you say, you know what, if I could have lived life all over again. Well, you know what, to those of you who are here this morning, God gives you a brand new chance, and that's a beautiful thing. So what, you're not a virgin in the eyes of that man or that woman any longer, whoever it is, whatever, you can be before God, and you can start all over today, right now. It's a beautiful thing, and dedicate yourself to the Lord. You're not to defraud your brother. It also means this. It not only means his family, but it also means brother. The word means brother as in brother and brother as in sister, brother. Brethren, us together. And if someone sexually violates you, you have defrauded their life. You have robbed them. You've stolen from them something that they can never get back. None of us have that advantage and that right. I want to get all the attention of the married couples this morning, singles, youth. According to this passage, advancement towards somebody to get them is an absolute sin. Do you want to see some action in this area? You want to entice someone's wife or daughter? You want to entice my wife or daughter? I'll show you some action. Proverbs 6:34 tells us about the vengefulness of a jealous husband. You want to see some action? Entice one of God's children to have sex. And Jesus says, if anyone causes any of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a millstone tied around his neck and thrown into the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to sin. Such things must come in the world, but woe to the man who causes them to sin. The vengeful anger of a man is enough, but can you imagine God says, don't you violate one of my daughters or one of my sons. Jesus says it's better to have never been born or to have a millstone tied around your neck. Finally, this, we'll wrap it up here. The fifth practical exhortation is found in verse 8, walking with God willingly. He says, therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God who has given us his Holy Spirit. What's he saying that for? Well, because in verse 7, it says, for God did not call us to live like the world to uncleanness, but to holiness. That is living for God, to dedicating ourselves to God. And here's the frightening thought, people. This is not a suggestion this morning. This is a commandment. According to verses 7 and 8, according to the theology of it all, it takes us right back to chapter 3, verse 13. Chapter 3, verse 13 says that he may establish us in our hearts blameless in holiness before God and the Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of his saints. There's a warning here that our promiscuity and our sexual immorality could definitely mess up our availability at the coming of the Lord. I want to leave you with this thought. He's talking about walking with the Lord. And he says, listen, you guys, you're not rejecting my words here. If you're upset with me this morning, I want to thank the Lord Almighty and be the first to tell you, you're not upset with me. My mug may be the mug that you'd like to throw a brick at right now. But in all actuality, you'd like to slap God in the face if these things are bothering you. They're not the words of men, they're the words of God. He loves you so much that he just sat you down on top of the kitchen sink, the counter. Not the stove, the counter. And he said, now you listen here because I love you. You listen here. And how you receive this makes all the difference in the world. And you could reject this. It could cost you your life. I know people who had one needle stick and are dead from taking blood. I know a couple in this fellowship. One outing in a time of rebellion and running against their husband and running against God. One outing. And they've been given a death sentence. There's no hope. People, he loves us. He wants you healthy and safe. And the world is ripping you off by telling you it can be done otherwise. And he said, don't resist these words of God. Let's pray. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, we come before you this morning. Heavy, heavy words that are truly life if we will take them to heart. Someone doesn't have to be infected or polluted with a sexually transmitted disease. All we have to do is sin against your creation and your order. And though a sore may not form or our elbow may not turn red or whatever, we sin against our own soul if we are sexually active outside of marriage. And Lord, I pray that this morning that this message would be used to change the lives of people and let them know the freedom that's in obeying you. Oh Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called How a Church Ought to Walk. Thanks for listening today, and please be encouraged. There is perfect love for us behind every commandment of God. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Here's a good question for you. Are you strong in your faith, but you aren't really sure how to approach a non-believer about it? Well, Pastor Jack has a great video that you can either watch for yourself and learn from or send to an unbelieving friend. It's called Know God. It's a great video to help you make that next step. Go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click on that tab that says Know God. We get a lot of folks that send us emails and get a hold of us and let us know how real life devotions are changing the way they live their life throughout the week. Click on the Devotions tab at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And you will get special devotions from Pastor Jack once a week. Now look, if you like what you read, if you think that something that you read maybe changed the way you lived your life throughout the week, we'd love to hear about it. We'd love to hear how Real Life Devotions is changing your life. Just go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the Devotions tab. And if you want to get in touch with us, just look at the contact info right there. It's easy to do. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.